The reading is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9 and 18 through 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, another 60, and in another 30. The word of the Lord.
I mostly grew up in Southern California, which means I got to spend a fair amount of time in the Pacific Ocean. And when you get to spend some time in the ocean, you learn pretty quickly that the ocean is a beautiful and fun thing to be in, but it's also something that you have to pay attention to and respect and learn to navigate safely. And particularly, you have to learn how to deal with waves. For instance, there's things called riptides, where you're swimming in the ocean, and if you're not careful, you get caught in this kind of wave that pulls you back and doesn't let you back in, and you have to know how to swim around it. I actually got caught in one in my teenage years. And then, of course, there's also just large waves that, if you're not careful, can mow you down. And so a few years ago, Gracia, our youth director, and I brought some of our high school youths to a beach camp in the San Diego area. And it was fun, you know, to see these kids, some of whom had never been to a beach. We'd go out to the water the first time and just see the glee in their eyes. And they just started running in the water, and they were so happy. And it hadn't occurred to me that some of them, because they had never been to the ocean, had never really dealt with waves before. And so I was sitting on the beach in the sand, protecting our stuff, watching our stuff, while the kids, maybe several of them, were in the water, and they began kind of in the shallow water, and then they moved a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper, and eventually they were kind of right up near the waves, and the waves would come crashing in. And at first this was fine, you know, the waves weren't too big, and so it would come to them, and they would jump up above it and splash around and have a great time. But as they stayed in there and went kind of deeper and deeper, high tide was coming. And I noticed the waves were getting bigger, and then quite suddenly I was watching, and this huge wave started to form that was very, very big. And I looked at our kids and I thought, I wonder what they're going to do. I hope this is going to be okay. And what do you think they tried to do? They tried to jump over it like they did with all the others. And the thing about big waves is that when a wave reaches a certain size, you can't really jump over it anymore. If you try to jump over it, it's just going to knock you down and throw you through the water. And so I'm watching, and I watch most of them pop up and try to jump over it, and the wave just completely mows them down. And I think, oh no, this is not good. And so I start running towards the water, and it was okay. They all popped up soon enough with lots of water in their noses. I swam out to them, and I explained that with waves, when they're small waves or medium-sized waves, yeah, just jump over them. It's lots of fun. It works great. But when you have a really tall wave, you cannot jump over it, like I said. What you have to do is you have to kind of make the diving pose and try to dive towards the water right before the wave breaks over you. And you actually get your body level with the ground, really close to the ground. And the wave goes over you, and you feel the force of it, and you kind of hear the sound of it, but you're fine. You kind of dive under the wave by getting close to the ground, and everything is okay. So some of these kids that day learn that it is indeed fun to play in the ocean, but you have to be prepared for waves so that you know what to do when they happen. Well, likewise, the journey of faith also involves both joy and blessing, but also things that can knock us down and hurt us. And you know, I'm not much of a hellfire and brimstone type of preacher. Most Lutheran pastors in our tradition aren't. But on some level, the issue of being prepared for hardship in faith is really, really important. And I think sometimes we have to talk about it. Because if we think faith is just going to be a cakewalk, that it's always kind of warm and fuzzy, happy things, what are we going to do when life knocks us down? What are we going to do when our faith is actually really challenged as we grow older? I think this is the key issue that Jesus is trying to talk about in this very famous parable called the Parable of the Sower. Jesus is talking about, in a sense, expectations in faith. Have we cultivated a faith that's able to deal with the waves of life? Have we cultivated a faith that can even survive in the waves of life? So in this parable, Jesus describes a farmer who comes along, and it says the farmer sows seeds in all kinds of different places. This farmer's not careful where the seed goes. Some of it goes on the rocky path. Some of it goes in rocky ground. Some of it among the thorns. And then finally, some of it among the good soil. And as you heard, everywhere except the good soil, the seeds die. And then unusually for the gospel, Jesus, after telling this parable, actually sits down with his disciples and explains the meaning of the parable. This is unusual. Most parables in the Bible, he just tells a story and we have to figure out what it means. He doesn't give us the answer key. But in this one, he kind of does. And he talks to his disciples about how each of these locations where seeds end up represent different scenarios in faith, where sometimes faith fails to take hold, and other times faith finds good soil and it bears fruit. Well, why is Jesus talking about faith sometimes failing to take hold and sometimes taking hold? He's talking about it because this is exactly the experience already in the early church that the disciples were experiencing. They had been given the gospel by Jesus, his followers. And it's this amazing message that God has come near in Jesus and that he's establishing a new kingdom and a new way of life, and that through baptism and discipleship, we can become God's children and live this abundant life today and live an abundant life for eternity. And now he's sending the disciples out these last few months as they have the gospel. And the disciples have this great message, and it's burning in their hearts, and they're excited. And they go out to share this message with the people. And some of the people who they share the gospel with come to faith. And they flock to Jesus, and they seek to learn from him. And their lives are transformed, and it's wonderful. And then other people come and listen to the gospel for a bit. And then they decide that Jesus isn't for them. And some people, it's not just they decide Jesus isn't for them. They hear the message and they call the disciples and Jesus crazy. Or they say they're drunk. Or they say worse, that they're possessed by evil with this weird new message. And so Jesus' disciples are having this really weird experience where they have this amazing message and this amazing relationship with Jesus. And they love it and they want to share it with other people. And lots of people just aren't interested. And maybe the disciples are starting to ask themselves, if our message and if our faith about Jesus is so great, then why are so many people rejecting it? Why are so many people disinterested in it? Well, so Jesus comes along today and he tells this parable. And he basically says through the parable, don't be surprised when faith is hard. Don't be discouraged when not everyone is into the gospel message. And don't lose faith when you meet hardships in faith. That's just how life is sometimes, and that's just how faith is sometimes. But that's not the whole message. It's not entirely a cynical message. Jesus also says that when we stick to it, our faith has the capacity to bear fruit many, many, many times over. He says 30 times over, 70 times over, 100 times over. He says that seed of faith that all of you who are here received at some point in your life, it can grow into something beautiful and life-giving, something that blesses you and something that can bless others. You know, I'm sure all of us have experienced on some level both of the scenarios of this parable, that sometimes faith takes root and other times it doesn't, at least for a while, take root. Maybe we've met people who've fallen in and out of love with Jesus. Maybe ourselves, we've fallen in and out of love with Jesus at one time or another. I have a really good friend who, for 1 year in his high school year, was a really passionate Christian. He was fired up about God. But eventually, you know, his girlfriend broke up with him, and he joined college, and he just kind of fell out of faith. And I still pray that sometime God would re-enter his life, and I'm hopeful, and I hope he rediscovers the joy and hope that comes with knowing Jesus. But sometimes that happens in life. And sometimes we are the people who fall in and out of faith. You know, sometimes I feel like in a single day I can be that person where sometimes I'm the seed where it's taking hold, and other times I'm the seed that's not really taking hold in faith. So we have this scenario where maybe it seems like faith is struggling, where maybe it seems like it's not taking root. And then other times we meet people who you can just tell, I don't know if there's any equation for it, but you can just tell that somehow they have been blessed with deep, deep faith, with meaningful faith, with faith that gives them joy. Or maybe they haven't just been blessed with it. Maybe they've found ways to cultivate a rich faith, a faith that hopes in the midst of sorrow, a faith that gives thanks even in the midst of hardship, a faith that in one way or another bears fruit. Just this past week, I was visiting a member of our church, a lady in her 90s, who's been having some health problems and is preparing, well, she's already had it now, but at the time she was preparing for a surgery. And she's had a good long life, but you know, it hasn't been a cakewalk. When you're alive for over 90 years, you experience lots of stuff. And she's certainly experienced hardship. She's already lost her husband, she's lost other family members, and so she's fairly old, and physically she can't do that much anymore. But I'll tell you, she is joyful. Every time I see her, she tells me about how thankful she is for her life and how much she loves her family and how wonderful they have been to her in her life. And today, or the day when I met with her, when I asked her how she's feeling about her upcoming surgery, she looked at me with a smile, and she just started quoting these words from St. Paul. She said, "If I live, I live to the Lord. If I die, I die to the Lord. So whether I live or whether I die, I am the Lord's." And later I thought, you know, talk about faith bearing fruit. Is there anything more beautiful in faith than being able to look even at your own death at some point and being able to say, you know, I trust God. Whether I live, whether I die, I am the Lord's. I don't think there's any greater example of bearing fruit than that hope that can be with us in life and in death from faith. Another recent example I experienced in someone, I was sharing recently that there's a growing Iraqi Christian community, and recently they asked to use our church for a worship service. They brought in one of their priests, and they did a service in their own language. And so there are these Iraqi Christians who many of them have fled Iraq because of ISIS and different dangers. And so as we were preparing for this service, I was interacting with a man named Amar. Amar comes from an area that we may have heard on the news called Mosul. Recently it's being liberated, but for a number of years it's been under the control of ISIS. And the Christian community has just really been struggling. We're tremendously persecuted. And so him and his wife and two children fled. And recently, at the beginning of the year, they moved to here in the U.S. as refugees. And you can imagine that if you're someone fleeing for your lives, that moment where you realize you're going to leave your house, there's not much stuff you can take, right? You'd probably take a few pieces of luggage, maybe a backpack, and you would grab your clothes, you would grab your IDs, some money, maybe a few small valuables, but you would only take the absolute essentials. Well, so that's the context of Amar and his family as they fled from Iraq. And so coming back to when they plan this service, I'm planning this service with Amar, and he's asking if we have any extra robes. in the tradition that he's from, it's very formal, and he's actually a deacon in his church, which means that when the priest is leading a service, he has a role in being up front and kind of helping to lead it. And so he was looking for a robe for some of the people, and I said, "I'm sorry, we don't have a robe I think that will fit you." And he said, "That's okay, I brought my robe with me from Iraq." And that blew me away. I mean, again, think of the few things that they could take, only the essentials, and think of the fact that most of their stuff was stolen or destroyed after they left, and yet in these last moments of fleeing danger, he chose to bring his deacon's robe because he treasured his faith in Jesus so much. I think that's actually a good metaphor for Middle Eastern Christians in general, who've clung to their faith even facing over 1,000 years of persecution. And again, talk about a tree bearing fruit. Talk about faith making a difference in someone's life. Well, in truth, I don't think there is an exact checklist for making our hearts into good soil so that our faith will be strong and bear fruit. You know, I don't think there's just one way to do it. And, you know, a lot of faith isn't up to us. It has to do with how the Holy Spirit surrounds us, how other people surround us. And sometimes it feels like the Holy Spirit just kind of takes control and picks us up from one situation and throws us into another and just says, time to grow. But even though we don't completely have control over our own faith, I would say that there's a common denominator among people who tend to bear a lot of fruit in faith. And that common denominator is that they tend to find ways to lay down roots in their faith life. In other words, once that seed of faith is planted, they find ways in their life to help it grow. They read their Bibles, for instance, so that when they're in their 90s and they're about to have a surgery, they can quote scripture that gives them hope. They go to worship, and sometimes they become leaders in their churches, like deacons, so that even when they're being persecuted and fleeing for their lives, they believe and they have hope. They maybe pray consistently. They love their neighbors. They give generously. They practice the art of thankfulness, even in hardship. You know, these are just some of the things that can help our lives become good soil. Well, you know, in the end, I think Jesus is right in this parable. There is going to be hardship in life, and sometimes the waves of life are going to come at us. And sometimes they're little waves, and we can just jump over them, and it's not too hard. But when the big waves come, that's when it's really important that we know where the ground is. That's when we have to return to what grounds us in Jesus Christ. And so today, Jesus says, "Root your life in me today, so that you'll know where to find me later when a wave comes in this life." Amen.